The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Echet Yebamot has been dedicated and sponsored by our dear friend Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife in honor of his family and Hatzlacha Varvaha Bechol Ma'asei Yadav. May be Zocheh to raise his children in the ways of the Torah. They should give him much nachat. He should have many more children with health and happiness. Chen v'chesed b'enei Hashem u'b'nei Adam. And he should have beracha b'kol mikol kol. Him and his entire family. Amen. Daf Ayin Aleph. Today's daf is being studied on the Neshmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tenichenu b'gan Eden. Amen. Begin today's daf on Ayin Amud Bet. And we are 2 lines from the bottom. We ended in our last sugya, being doresh a pasuk that was written by Korban Pesach. It says, "Umalta oto as yochalbo." It says that the fellow that's bringing the Korban Pesach, he has to first circumcise his slaves, and only after he circumcises his slaves, then he's allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. That means milat zecharav va'avadav me'akebin oto mele'echol. So the Gemara said, what about terumah? Does this apply by terumah? So the Gemara was doresh umalta oto as yochal bo, that it only applies to Korban Pesach and not for terumah. Which means, even though a person has slaves, let's say, that are not circumcised, it does not affect the owner, the Kohen, from eating teruma. And they doresh it from the word bo. So the Gemara now says, Hashta de amart bo lidrasha hu de ata. Now that you're telling me the word bo can be used for drasha, kol ben nechar lo yochal bo lamali. Torah says by Korban Pesach that a ben nechar lo yochal bo. What is a ben nechar? So Rashi explains it to mean as mishnit nakeru ma'asav la'aviv shema shamayim, that somebody that has become estranged in his ways from Borei Olam, and he's a Jew that went off the path. We call that a mumar. So it says if you have a mumar, that's a Jew that strayed, which means he worships, let's say, Abodah Zarah. So the Torah says kol ben nechar lo yochal bo. So it's mashma specifically to Korban Pesach. What is it coming to exclude? So Gemara says, "Lamali." So Gemara says, "Bo hamarat dat poselet by Korban Pesach hamarat dat." If somebody changes or sways from his religion, it's going to be posel. Ve'en hamarat dat poselet b'maaser. However, when it comes to eating maaser, it is not going to be posel, which means a mumar is allowed to eat maaser sheni. So that is the bo by Korban Pesach, din of ben nechar. Comes Gemara says, "Kol arel lo yochal bo lamali." We go back to another pasuk. It says by Korban Pesach, "Kol arel," any non-circumcised person, "Kol arel lo yochal bo," cannot eat by the Korban Pesach. Now we know it's not coming to exclude terumah, because terumah also we cannot eat based on the gezerah shava that we had to shavu sachir. So the question is, what is the bo of kol arel lo yochal bo coming to exclude? What it says, bo eno ochel, aval ochelu b'masa umaror. Which means, on Pesach, besides the Korban Pesach, there's masa umaror obligation. So the Hadush of the Torah is, he doesn't eat the Korban Pesach, but he does eat masa umaror, even though he is not circumcised. Comes the Gemara and says, v'etztarich lemichtav arel, v'etztarich lemichtav kol ben nechar. Now, by Korban Pesach, it excludes two people. It excludes a Arel, and it also excludes a Ben Nechar. That's a Mumar. Now, the Gemara's assumption here is that you might have been able to learn one from the other. That if it just would have said Ben Nechar, you could have learned Arel. Or if it just would have said Arel, you could have learned Ben Nechar. So the Gemara's going to say, no, you needed to write both, because I would not be able to learn one from the other. Why? The Ikatav Rahmana Arel, if the Torah just would have wrote Arel, Mishum Dema'is. I would have said, you know why an Arel can't eat Korban Pesach? Because he's Ma'us, because it's disgusting. The Torah calls the Orla, the foreskin, is something that's called Ma'us. And if I would say the reason why an Arel can't eat, because he's abominable. Aval Ben Necha, De Lo Ma'is, Emalo, but a ben nechar is not maus, it's not disgusting. Maybe it'd be permissible. V'iketiv rachmanar kol ben nechar mishum de'en libo l'shamayim. The other way, if I just wrote ben nechar, I would say the reason why he came because his heart is not to heaven. Aval arel libo l'shamayim emalo, but arel he's religious. His heart is to the shamayim, he's just not circumcised. Sirichas, therefore, has to say both. As Gemara says, mimenu mimenu lamali. Which is once already, you're telling me we're doresh the bo. Right, to say Davka by Korban Pesach and not somewhere else. So there's another exclusionary word that's written by Korban Pesach, mimenu. For example, the Pasuk says, Al tochelu mimenu na. Do not eat from the Korban Pesach, from it na, raw. Velo totiru mimenu ad boker. And do not leave any leftovers until the morning. Van notar mimenu ad boker ba'esh tislof, which is three times it says in the parasha the word mimenu. So what is it coming to exclude? So the Gemara says lechteraba amar b'yitzchak. Now later on daf ayin dalet, we're going to see exactly this derasha. The Gemara says stay tuned. Amar b'yitzchak, he's going to tell us what the mimenus are coming to exclude. Amar mor, we learned above Rabbi Akiva Omer. You don't need the Gezerah Sheva of Toshav Sakhir to teach me that Arel lo yochad betruma. Hareu omer ish ish lerabot et Arel. The Torah said in the law, ish ish ki yet sarua vezav. If a person is a sarua, is metzora, or is a zav, he cannot eat teruma. So the fact that ish ish, it's coming to include not only it's sarua or zav, but even in aril. From the extra time it says the word ish. So the Gemara says, who told you that the extra word ish is coming to tell me that an aril lo yokalbo ve'ema lerabot ata onen? Maybe it's coming to tell me that an onen cannot eat teruma. Which is, I understand the word ish ish is coming to include somebody that it's asur. But who told me it's coming to include the aril? Maybe coming to include an onen that cannot eat teruma. Amar v'yosef et bihalina, amar kera v'chol zar. We have a pasuk v'chol zar lo yochal zarut amati lecha v'lo aninut. Right? We said a zar cannot eat teruma. That's a non-kohen, but not an onen. So then we have a clear derasha that says onen can eat teruma. So Gemara says ema v'lo arlut. Maybe when it says the pasuk zarut, it's coming to exclude arlut. I'll tell you, maybe a zar can eat teruma, but an arel can. Gemara says haketiv ish ish. Then we have a pasuk where we said ish ish is coming to exclude it. So the Gemara says umara ita, which means what did you see fit to come along and exclude an arel and to include an onen? Which means you could have learned these derashot in either direction. You could have said that the word ish ish is coming to say an onen is asur, and you could have learned that the pasuk of zarut is coming to say zarut asur aval arlut mutar. So then, why did you choose Rabbi Akiva to say arel asur onen mutar? Arlut havilel rebuye. Makes more sense to include arlut because of the Chumrot that it has. Why? Shekem ma'asim kirutim medabar ha'eved. That's a mnemonic to remember the Chumrot that Arel or Mila has. What are they? Number one, mechusar ma'aseh. It's lacking in action. So that already is a Chumrah. It needs an action to be done, the Mila. U'ma'aseh begufo. Not only that, that action is in his body. Ve'anosh karet, responsible by karet, ve'yishno lifnei dibur. It is also a commandment that was given before Matan Torah to Avraham Avinu. That's stringent. Umidat zecharav v'avadav me'akevet. And we know that the servants, by Korban Pesach at least, if they're not circumcised, so you see Mila is able to me'akev his master from eating. So now look at the mnemonic again. Ma'asim, that means mechosar ma'aseh begufo. The next word was kirutim, that means it's karet. Bedavar, meaning it's a davar that was commanded before Matan Torah. And Aivid, which is the Aivid is going to be me'akev him from eating Korban Pesach. So you see what? The reason why I'd rather say that Arel is Asur is because it has all these Chumrot. So the Gemara says, Adrabah, Aninut havilel rebuye. Why don't you include Aninut? Says Asur, because it also has Chumrot. Sheken yishna b'chol sha'a. First of all, Onen applies at all times, which means it's recurring. Whereas Arel, once already takes his circumcision, it's over. Mashaykh an onen, he can become an onen time and time again.
ונוהגים באנשים ונשים, and אנינות also applies to men as well as ladies, ואין בידו לתקן עצמו, and he cannot fix himself like a brit milah. It means an automatic, and since he cannot control the guy from dying, so the Gemara says, הנח נפישן. Simple answer, there's more חומרות by ערר than there is by אנינות. And therefore, if I'm going to include one of the two to say it's asur, I'm going to include the one that has the more stringencies. And that is arlut more than aninut. Rava amar belo hanach nefishan nameh lo matzit amart. Which means, even without this nefishan sevara, even without the fact that there's no chumrot by aril, still you would not be able to say that aril will be mutar. Why? Amar kira ish ish. Right, the Torah uses the language ish ish ki yes sarua veza by teruma. Ezu davar sheyeshno bi ish ve'eno ish beisha. Have you omer ze arlut? Simple. The Rashi says ish ish. It must be coming to include something that applies only to an ish and not an isha. And therefore, what is that? That must mean arelut. So therefore, we have another sevara why dafka arelut was included and not. Aninud. V'Rabbi Akiva Hay Toshav V'Sachir Ma'avid Le. So the Gemara says, yesterday we had a whole Dirashah Toshav V'Sachir Gizir Hashava to tell me, just like Terumah is Asur by Korba Pesach, so it's Asur by Terumah. But according to Rabbi Akiva, that learns from Ish Ish. So what does he do with the Gizir Hashava of Toshav V'Sachir? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shema'ya La'atuye, it's to come to include Aravi Mahul V'giv'oni mahul. There's certain goyim that circumcise themselves. The Arabs, for example, they circumcise themselves. Giv'oni is also a type of a goy that also circumcises himself. So the hadush is to tell me that what? That she writes, shelo yochal bepesach. Which means the Torah is coming to tell me that what? That they cannot eat from the korban pesach. Which means not only a regular aril. Okay, that's for sure, but so you need to have mahul. So these guys are mahul. So maybe you think that they can eat from the Qurban Pesach. So the Toshav V'Sachir comes along and says that we don't recognize, let's say, an Aravi mahul or a Giv'oni mahul. They circumcise themselves. We don't consider them allowed to eat from the Qurban Pesach, as well as Terumah then, because we make a Gizra Shavah, Toshav V'Sachir, as well as Terumah. So comes the Gemara and says, Ve'hane mulininu. So what are you talking? Do you even consider them circumcised? Which is, what do you need a dirashah to come and say they can't eat, because even though they're circumcised? We don't consider them circumcised. How do you know we don't consider when an Arabi circumcised himself, he's not called a mahul? Because the Gemara says, V'atena, we look at the Mishnah. Kunam she'ani nehene la'arelim. A guy makes a kunam, a neder on himself. I am not going to have any benefit from arelim. So the deen is mutar be'arele Yisrael. You're allowed to have benefit from a Yisrael that's not circumcised, because when it comes to nedarim, you go after lashon b'nei adam. A Jew is not called an aril, even if he doesn't have a circumcision, he's not called an aril. However, ve'asur b'mule of dekochavim, but he's forbidden to have benefit even from the circumcised of dekochavim. So you see what? Even a circumcised of dekochavim is still called an aril. Furthermore, kunam she'ani nene lemulin. Let's say a guy makes a nedra, he says, I make a nedra myself, I'm going forbidding myself to have any hana'a from mulin, from people that are circumcised. Mutar bimule of dekochavim. It's permissible to have hana'a from circumcised of dekochavim because they're not considered mulin. V'asubarele Yisrael. But it's still asur ba'arele Yisrael. Because even though they're aril, they're called, they're not called the because he said he's not going to have hana'a from mulina. Therefore, they're considered mulin, even though they're uncircumcised. They're not called aril. So therefore, what do you see from this mishnah? You see that a goy, even though he has a brit milah, he's still considered aril. So I don't need pisukim to come and tell me that Arabi Mahul cannot eat. Of course he cannot eat. Kol aril lo yochal bo. He's aril. So comes the Gemara and says, Ela, you know what the Toshav V'Sachir is coming to teach you? La'atuye ger shemal velo taval. It's coming to tell me a case of a ger, a convert, that was mal, he circumcised himself, velo taval, but he did not dip in the mikveh, or a case of a katam, shenolad kishehu mahul, or a minor, a baby was born, let's say when he was circumcised. Vekasavar sarich latif mimenu damberit. This opinion holds, meaning Rabbi Akiva, that he cannot eat from the Korban Pesach, even though the ger is mal, he's mahul, he's Jewish. And even though the katam was born mahul as well, because he holds that it's not considered a good milah until you draw some blood. So you have to have hatafat damberit. And the ger is not considered a ger until he goes to the mikveh. So therefore, the Hadush of the Torah is that even though these guys are considered mal, but they cannot eat from the Korban Pesach. Rashi. וקטן שולד מהו וכסבר ויעקיבה קטן שולד מהו צריך להטיף ממנו דם ברית. And therefore, since they weren't matif, matif means you have to, even though he's born circumcised, you gotta cut him a little to draw some blood. And until you do that, it's not considered a milah. So the Hiddush, even though he's a circumcised Jew, so you can call him a mahul, but still what? The Hiddush of Toshav HaZakhir tells me they do not eat from the Korban Pesach, and then as well as the Terumah, because we make the Gezer HaShavah. Comes to Gemara and says, V'Rabbi Eliezer, the Tame also. Rabbi Eliezer, how come he doesn't include this? Which is Rabbi Eliezer, he didn't learn Toshav HaZakhir like this. So the question is, what does Rabbi Eliezer do with these cases? So Gemara says, V'Amar Ger Shemal V'Lo Taval Ger Me'al Yahu. He holds that a ger that circumcised himself, even though he didn't go to the mikveh, he's still considered a ger, and therefore he can eat from the korban pesach. The kasavar he also holds katan keshenolad mahul en sarich latif memenu dam berit. He also saw that a katan that was born mahul, he's legitimate. You don't even have to go back and draw some blood. So therefore, that's why he said these people can eat. So if we don't need a gezer hashavah to come and exclude them, v'Rabbi Eliezer hay ish ish may abidle. Now we have to go back to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is the one that learned Toshav HaSachir. So the question is, what does he do with the Derash of Rabbi Akiva? Ish, ish. He answered, the Berat Torah, Kelashon Bnei Adam. The Torah talked in the vernacular of human beings, which means, that's the normal way of talking. So you don't have to always have a Derash on it. Ish, ish. That's the way the Torah says, not coming to specifically include anything extra. Sometimes the Torah speaks in the normal vernacular. The man has a question. Ba'e Rav Chama Bar Okba. Katan Arel. Let's say you have a Katan. Katan meaning he's less than 8 days old. Of course he's Arel. He's not circumcised. Ma'u lasucho b'shemen shel teruma. Are you allowed to anoint his body, let's say, with oil of teruma? You want to take baby oil. You want to take some oil of teruma and you want to rub his body. Now you're not allowed to have benefit from the oil of teruma, which means just like you cannot eat teruma, if you're a zar, if you're arel, you cannot drink teruma. So anointing it on your body is considered a hana'ah, like eating or drinking. They learn that from a pasuk, and she quotes it. The pasuk says, "Vatavo kamayim bekirbo v'chashemen be'atzmotav." And therefore, chashemen be'atzmotav is like mayim bekirbo. And therefore, the question is like this. Well, he's uncircumcised, this child over here. Well, you have to say he's a child of a Kohen, let's say. Fine. But the problem is like this. He's uncircumcised, but his circumcision didn't come into play yet. Which is maybe we say, Adil is only Asur, once already he's Hayav in the Milah. Then already he could have benefit. But before 8 days, there's no Arlut, meaning he's allowed to be in that stage. So that's really the She'ilah. The Gemara discusses it. Arlut shelo bezmana me'akba. Do you say that Arlut, even shelo bezmana, before its time, is going to be me'akev? Olo me'akev. Or do you say no? Maybe only after 8 days, then already you have a problem. So the Gemara says, Amar Bizera. So the Bizera is going to bring a proof to this. Now, the Torah says like this when it comes to Korban Pesach. As we learned earlier, the slaves of the owner of the Korban Pesach, as well as his children, have to be circumcised. If they're not circumcised, so that is going to me'akev him from eating the Korban Pesach. Now, it is written in the Torah, Himol lo kol zachar, circumcise all his males, ve'az yikrav la'asoto. Then you're able to make the Korban Pesach. La'asoto means to slaughter it, which means he can't even slaughter it at the time of the shechita. If one of his children are uncircumcised, so already it's me'akev the shechita, because it says la'asoto. Now we have another pasuk by Korban Pesach. It says umalta oto az yochalbo. It says you'll circumcise the slave, and then you can eat it. So it's mashma that already at the time of the eating, which means if you have a slave that's not circumcised, it's going to be asur, which means, let's say you bought the slave between the slaughtering and the eating, so therefore, now you're about to eat, you have a slave that's not circumcised, it's ma'akev, the akhila. So the Gemara wants to know, it says by zecharim, by this children, it goes at the time of the shechita. Right? If they're uncircumcised, you cannot be shochet. By the avadim, it says at the time of the akhila. How do we know liten shel zeh bazeh v'shel zeh bazeh? How do we know to mix and say that avadim will also be me'akev at the time of the shechita, and zecharim will also be me'akev at the time of the achila? So the Gemara is going to say, because in both pesukim it says the word az, and if we're making gezerah shava az to teach me that both an eved and a zachar, a child that's not circumcised, will be me'akev ben bishat shechita ben bishat achila. That's the fact. Now the Gemara is going to create a case where we can use it as a proof to what we're trying to say. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Bisa Tashima, Eli Ela Milat Zecharav Bishat Asiyah. Jeez, I only know from the Pasuk that Milat Zecharav at the time of the Asiyah, at the time of the Shechita, is going to be Ma'akev. And you cannot store the Goman Pesach if one of his children are not circumcised. Va'abadav Bishat Achila. And I only know from the Pasuk that Milat Abadav is Ma'akev at the time of the eating. Minayin diten et ta'amuz shel zeh bazeh ve ta'amuz shel zeh bazeh. How do I know to say that abadav also apply at the time of the shechita and milat zecharav also apply at the time of the achila? Tamud lomar as the gezerah shava. Good. So now the Gemara analyzes bishlama abadav. I can understand a case by abadav where you can have them not around at the time of the shechita, so they won't ma'akev the shechita, but they could ma'akev the achila. How? Mashka'at la di'itnu bishat achila vilitnu bishat asiya. They were not around at the time of the shechita, but they were around at the time of the achila. How? Kegon dezabninu bine bine. You bought the abadim in the interim. You made shechita korban pesah, then you bought the eved. Oh, so now the eved can be ma'akev the achila. However, ela zecharav, give me a case of a child. Di'itnu bishat achila, vilitnu bishat asiya. Give me a case of a child that wasn't around at the time of the slaughtering, but was it around at the time of the eating. So Gemara says, heki maskahata, lav di'it yelud ben asiya l'achila. Must have been he was born between the achila, so between the shechita and the achila. And what is the Torah saying? He cannot eat. Which means he's not 8 days old even. He's just 1 day and 1 hour old. And what is it saying? It's asur. So you see, shma mina arlut shelo bizmana havya arlut. You see that arlut shelo bizmana is going to be ma'akev. So back to that original question. Can you take the oil of teruma and put it on aril less than 8 days old? According to this, you can't. Because by the way, it's still considered aril. Because the Torah is telling you that this guy cannot eat Kurban Pesah. Why? Because he has a son that's not circumcised. What are you talking about? The kid's 1 hour old. Ela, you see what? You see that this type of arilut is going to be ma'akev. So Rabbah says, v'tisbira. Is that logical? Himolo kol zachar amar rahmana ve'az yikrav la'achot asoto. The Torah says, circumcise your children, then you're able to eat. Ve'hay lav bar mahilahu. And this guy, it's not your fault, he's uncircumcisable. So he's less than 8 days old. So how could you tell me that a child that's less than 8 days old is going to be ma'akiv? The Gemara cannot accept such a principle. Right? The Torah says, circumcise them and you can eat. No, but I can't circumcise this guy. So therefore the Gemara says it can't be. So now we're stuck now. Give me a case where the child was unfit, which is did not posel the shechita, but can be posel the achila. So the Gemara says, "Ela hakamimay askinam kegon shehalatzto hama." It was the case was talking about. Really, he's 8 days old, but what, he had a fever, so therefore you couldn't circumcise him at the time of the shechita, and the fever broke at the time of the achila. But he's 8 days old, so therefore you're able to circumcise him. Therefore, it's ma'akev. Gemara says, "Hold it, v'nituvle kol shiva." The law is, once a child has fever, you have to wait 7 more days from the time that the fever breaks to do the Brit Milah. So therefore, you're not going to be able to do it. I mean, he's still not ra'uy at that time, because you have to wait 7 days. Because when a child has fever, we consider like he's born again. We have to wait like another 7 days on the 8th day you circumcise. So the Gemara says, Diyavina ne koshiv'a. Right, the case was where he got his fever and you waited, let's say, the 7 days, and now he became ra'uy at the time of the achila. So the Gemara says, v'nimhele mitzafra, which means, what are you talking already? Why don't you circumcise him already from the morning? Which is, what are you talking about, mishat achila? Already on the 7th and the 8th day, if you wait 7 days, what do you got to wait till Shat Achila for? He's already ra'uy from the time of the... So therefore, he's already going to posel the shechita. You didn't give me a case where he's going to posel. You got to give me a case where the shechita was okay, and the achila is not okay. Already, if you're doing it from the morning, shechita cannot be taught till chatzot. So therefore, you have to give me... He circumcised already from the morning. Look at that sheet at the bottom, misafra. V'chimad misafra bar meilahu, ishtekach de'ma'akev le'ma'aseh. You have a case always ma'akev the shechita. V'lama likrad ribuy yishat achila. What's the case of achila? So the Gemara says, ba'inan me'et le'et. When it comes to a child that you're waiting 7 days from the sitter, it has to be to the hour. Which means you have to wait 7 complete days. And then we're talking about a case where, let's say, he got the fever broke, let's say, at after the shahat of the shahita, let's say, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, whatever it is. And he had to wait 7 days later, so at the time of the shahita, he wasn't circumcised, so there was no problem. He doesn't become ra'uy until the time of the achila, so therefore he's going to be ma'akev. So the Gemara says, there's a rabbi called Luda'a. Luda'a said, Yom havra'ato ki yom evaledo. The day the child gets better, meaning the 7 days, after the 7 days, is compared to the day that he was born. My love, the Gemara said, what's the connection between them? My yom evaledo lo ba'inan me'et le'et, av yom havra'ato lo ba'inan me'et le'et. That just like on the Bila day itself, you don't have to be me'et le'et. You could circumcise a child, it doesn't have to be 8 24-hour intervals. 7 24-hour intervals on the 8th day, you can mal him right away in the morning. So too, habra'ato doesn't have to be me'et le'et. So Gemara says, no. No, he didn't say that. Adif yom havra'ato yom havaledo. He meant to say that it's better. The day that he gets healthy is better than the day of the circumcision. Why? De'ilu yom havaledo. From the day that he's born, lo ba'inan me'et le'et. Which in the Brit Milah, you could do, let's think he was born at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You can still mal him on the 8th day in the morning. You don't need me'et le'et. De'ilu yom havra'ato ba'inan me'et le'et. But when it comes to him getting better, you need to do 7 complete days, and it has to be me'et le'et. So now the Gemara is going to give a few more answers. So now we have an answer ready. Somebody wants to, what's the case where he's not ra'uy b'sha'at shechita, but he was ra'uy b'sha'at achila? So the case is talking about where b'sha'at shechita already, we're talking about a child that was sick from before, and he got better. Right, he had to wait 7 days. So the 7 days weren't up at the time of the shechita. So if he was able to slaughter because the kid is not ra'uy. When did the me'et le'et end? Already by the time of the achila. So that's going to me'akev the achila until he actually circumcises the child. Amar kegon deka'iv le'ene li'inuka ve'itpah b'ne u'b'ne. The Gemara gives another case. Let's say the child's eye was hurting him. He had an eye ailment, and he got better in between, which means not all ailments do you have to wait 7 days. Only, let's say, by fever. So therefore, the case was talking about the 7 day, it was the 8th day of the Rit Milah, let's say. At the time of the Shechita, the kid had an eye ailment. So therefore, you weren't able to circumcise him at that moment. So therefore, it didn't ma'akev the Shechita. By the time the Achila came around, the eye ailment went away. And therefore, you're able to do the Shechita, the Milah, immediately. Therefore, it's going to be ma'akev the Achila. Rabbah gives a different answer. Kegon lavamar, kegon sheyu abiv ve'imo havushin bebet asurin. It's talking about where the mother and the father of the child were imprisoned. They were in jail. So therefore, what does that mean? That she says, bishat asiya. At the time of the shechita, they were in jail. Umitzvat milah mutelet alehem. The mitzvah milah is on the parents. And she says alehem, which is interesting. It's not even on the mother, but for sure we know it's on the father. Ve'lo ala achirim. Vehem enam yecholim la'asot et pishan. They weren't able to bring the korban pesach as well. But what happened? Veshahat shiluchan alehem. They had already appointed a shaliyah from before to slaughter for them the Korban Pesach. Vashminan krashim yatzu b'sha'at achila milat bino me'akavto. Which means they were in jail at the time of the Asiyah. The Shaliach went and slaughtered the Korban Pesach. Obviously they couldn't find the Shaliach maybe to circumcise their son. So therefore, what's the deen? When they get out of jail, now already this is a case of Sha'at Asiyah, it's not Me'akiv. Why? They don't have the ability to do it. They don't have it's impossible for them to do it. So that's not going to hold them responsible. But once they get out of jail, now it's Sha'at Achira. The child has to be circumcised. So if that's the case, where Sha'at Asiyah, yeah, was okay, but Sha'at Achira was a problem. Rav Kana gives a different answer. Rav Kana, b'reded Rav Nehemya Amar, kegon tumtum shenikra. V'nimsa zachar b'nei u'b'nei. We're talking about a child, let's say it was a tumtum. Tumtum means the child is closed up over there. So you don't know if he's a zachar or he's a nekeva. So at the time of Asiyah, he's a tumtum. So therefore you're able to slaughter. In the interim, after the shechita, he was cut open. Now you found out he's a boy. Well, now I found out he's a boy, that already is hayav and a brit milah. So therefore that's the case. With Sha'at Asiyah, it wasn't me'akev, but with Sha'at Achila, it was me'akev. But tumtum, that was nikra. Then the Asiyah, the Achila. Rav Sheravya gives a different answer. Kegon shehotzi rosho chutz leperozdor. He gives a case like this. The child was born, a child's considered born once his head comes out of the pirozdor, comes out of the canal. It's a mahloket where exactly the canal is. Is it still in the body of the lady or is it actually outside? But the point is the head came out. And therefore what? So that she says, Sheotzi v'lad rosho chutz leperozdor v'chivar avru shiv'a yamim. U'ma'u sha'ata havile v'lad de... Already at that time, he's considered a child when the head comes out. The kai malam masichat ida yatzar rosho hare hu ki yilud ve'ashta ben asiyah le'achila yatzar guf dav yile zman mila, which means the first 7 days the child was his head was out. So therefore. But you can't circumcise a child like that. You can't circumcise a child like that. So therefore, at the time of the Asiyah, it's not Me'akiv. After the Asiyah, the kid emerged. So now already it's considered the eighth day. That's the point. Because bottom line, once his head comes out, the clock starts. He's considered born. So therefore, at the time of the Asiyah, the kid didn't come out yet. So therefore, you're allowed to slaughter. Once after the Asiyah was done, the kid came out. Kid came out, it's considered the eighth day. Eighth day, you have to circumcise him. Because the clock starts once the head comes out. So therefore, we have a case that the Asiyah was not Me'akev, and the time of the Achila was Me'akev. Now the Gemara asks the question. Can a child live like that? Which means, how is the child, once his head comes out of the prosdor, how is he going to live for so long? Why can he live? Because the Gemara says from a bright, once a child emerges into the world, the air of the world, niftah hasatum v'nistam patuah. The Gemara says, niftah hasatum. Satum is the child's mouth. Until that point, the child's mouth is sealed shut. Once he comes out to the world, his mouth opens. V'nistam hapatuah. That is the navel. Where he was eating until that point was opened. Once he emerges, that closes. Which means now already he's not eating anymore from his mother's umbilical cord, right? So where's he eating from?
No.
From his mouth. But he's not eating anymore because his head out came out of his door. So how's he going to live for 7 days without eating until he emerges? Which means he stops eating from his mother. So the Gemara says, and the Gemara explains why that's so. Why that miracle happens at the time of birth, that nistama patuah and niftah hasatum. She'il maleh ken en yachol lehiyot afilu sha'achat. Because if it would not be so, he would not be able to live even for one moment. So the Gemara says, ha'cha b'ma'askinan kegod dezante ishta. He's being sustained by the heat. By the heat of what? It says, the Gemara is going to tell us that the mother has a certain fever, and somehow, by the mother having a certain fever, that fever sustains the child, where he does not have to eat. Gemara says, Ishtad deman. Who has the fever over here? Ilima ishtadide. If you tell me that the child has a fever, iachi kol shiv'a ba'ir. Then we're back to the question. If he has fever, then already you have to wait 7 days. So from the time of the time that he emerges. So then you don't have the case of sha'at achila, he was ra'ui. So the Gemara, you understand what the Gemara just said? You have to wait another 7 days then, because of the law of the fever. Ela dezante ishta de'imeh. It's talking about that the mother has the fever. Now what does this mother of the fever do? Somehow it's able to sustain the child. Want to see what they say? Okay, let's see what they say. Ishta de'imeh shezan oto choma mahalas shel imo. You will note over here, it says a fever sustains its victim. Quote Sanhedrin, Kufhet Amud Bet, where Rav states that a fever can sustain an ill person for between 6 and 12 days without the person consuming food or drink. That is, the fever reduces appetite and causes the body to consume the excess fat and nutrients stored within.
Right.
So therefore, the mother's fever causes the child to become hot, and therefore it sets off that process. He can live for 7 days like that. The Gemara says another answer. When do we say a child cannot live with his head out of the womb? That's only when he's not crying. But if he's crying, then he's able to live. Rashi says, no, me'ave tsu'ek. Okay, so something to do with that, the crying of the child somehow will sustain it as well. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Bana'a. Rabbi Yochanan says the name of Rabbi Bana'a. Arel Mekabel Haza'a. Oh, new point. You have somebody that's not circumcised, but he became Tameh. So they have to sprinkle him with the, let's say, the paraduma. So they sprinkle him on the third day and the seventh day. It's a 7 day process. So the hadush is that even though he's an arel, he's uncircumcised, he can be sprinkled to get the tum'ah off of him. So the Gemara says, how do we know this? You might have said, no, maybe once he's arel, the process doesn't work. No, an arel can receive haza'ah, and then he can circumcise himself. So Gemara says, "Sheken matzilu ba'abotenu." We see our forefathers in the midbar. Shekibelu hazaah, they received hazaah in the midbar. Kishen arelin, even though they were uncircumcised. Shene emar says, "Ve'aham alu min ha'yerden." The Jewish people, when they came out of the midbar and they went into Eretz Israel, they crossed the Jordan River with Yehoshua ben Nun. What day did they cross the Jordan River? The Pasuk says, Be'asor lachodesh arishon. It says, on the 10th of Nisan, that's when the Jews entered Eretz Israel. Now the Gemara says, Ba'asara lo mihaleh. On the 10th day of Nisan, Yeshua did not circumcise them. Now keep in mind, the Jews in the Midbar were uncircumcised. The Gemara will explain that on the next daf. But our Gemara is assuming clearly the Jews in the Midbar were not circumcised. Not the Jews that came out of Mitzrayim. The Jews that were in Mitzrayim was circumcised. The generation that was born in the Midbar was uncircumcised. Yeshua brought them into the Eretz Israel on the 10th of Nisan, which is 4 days before Korban Pesach, keep in mind. Now what does it say? On the 10th day he did not circumcise them. Why? Mishum Chulsha De'urha. Because of the trip. They were too weak from the traveling to be circumcised on that day. So therefore it says, Hazaah emat avid lihu. When did he do Hazaah for them? Which means the Jewish people, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, they needed to be sprinkled now in order to be fit for the Korban Pesach, that the Tum'ah. So they needed to be sprinkled. Now, for the sprinkling to take place, you need a 7 day process. They weren't circumcised till the 11th. So therefore, you're not going to have, even if you want to say that, let's say they were sprinkled on the after the circumcision, you're not going to have 7 days to Korban Pesach. So you have to say what? That they started the process of the sprinkling before their circumcision. So therefore, what do you see over here? That an arel that received hazaah, the hazaah works. So Gemara explains, Lav Kishen Arelim, must be they got the Hazaah when they were Arel. Look at Rashi. Hazaat emat avud letumat met shalin. Let's say they had tumat met to Jewish people. Shirov sibur tamu metayu shnit meu ba'avotem. Where did the Jewish people become tameh? They buried their fathers in the midbar. The Jewish people in the midbar every year, there was a death penalty where Jewish people died. Their children had buried their fathers, so therefore Rov Bnei Yisrael had tumat met. So they couldn't bring Korban Pesach until they were sprinkled, until they were purified. Rashi says, "Shekol yotzei Mitzrayim metu b'midbar, ve'elu hen b'nehem, k'dichtiv ve'et b'nehem ekim tachtam, otam mal Yoshua." Those are the ones that Yoshua circumcised. Ve'each niteru le'echol p'sehehem. How did they purify to eat the Korban Pesach? Im lo kiblu azaz shlishi v'shevi'i k'shehen arelim. They must have received sprinkling on the third and seventh day when they were arel. Or kol echad v'had kibel azaz l'shlishi v'shevi'i shelo be'odo b'midbar. Or achshav, which means either they got the three and the seven they were in the midbar when they were totally arelim. Or achshav izu arim kulam yachad be'asod l'chodesh. Or maybe let's say they got sprinkled on the 10th. And then ube'erev Pesach ayulem dalid yamim kemishpat. And then 4 days later, they got the second sprinkling on the seventh. But bottom line, the first sprinkling was done when they were uncircumcised, which means either way you say it, that to be uncircumcised at one of the sprinklings, either both sprinklings or one sprinkling. Meaning, if they got sprinkled in the midbar, they were arel on day 3 and day 7. Or you could say that they got sprinkled, let's say, on when they entered Eretz Yisrael, where they didn't get circumcised on the 10th, but they got sprinkled on that day. Let's say that day was day 3. Now, even though day 7 will be on the 14th, 4 days later, so they were circumcised for the sprinkling of day 7, but they were not circumcised for the sprinkling of day 3. So you see what? Hazaah during the time of Arlut is okay. So comes the Gemara and says, V'dilma lo avud Pesach klal. Who told you they brought Korban Pesach that year? Maybe they didn't bring the Korban Pesach, which is you're making a whole hezbon that they were circumcised on the 11th, and they had to have Hazaah. They didn't have Hazaah. There was no Korban Pesach that year. The Gemara said, "Lo salka datach, impossible." Dichtiv vayasu et the Pesach. It says clearly in the pasuk they brought the Pesach that year. So matkif la morzutra vedil ma Pesach haba betum ahaya. Who said, maybe since the majority of people were Tameim, so we have a rule that says what? Tum'ah dihuya. And then maybe they brought the Korban Pesach when they were Tameh. Who said that they made Hazaah Bechlal? So comes the Gemara and says, Amalina Vashe Tanya Behedya. Because we have a Beferush Blaita that says, Malu, they circumcised themselves, Vitavlu, and they dipped themselves, Ve'asu Pesachehem Betahara. So we know it was done b'tahara. And the only way to say they did it b'tahara is if they had hazaah. And the only way they could have had hazaah is when they were uncircumcised. So you see what? Hazaah. When a person is uncircumcised, it's considered a hazaah. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Abba Yitzchak, Amar Rav. New point. Lo nitna piri'at mila le'Avraham Abinu. We know there's two points or parts of the circumcision. There's the actual cutting of the foreskin, taking off the orla, right? That's the milah itself. And then you have the piri'ah. The piri'ah is the revealing of the atara, which is they break the membrane in order to reveal the atara. That's the piri'ah. Now that's the two parts of the circumcision. So the Gemara is telling us over here, piri'ah was not given to Avraham Avinu. Now, even though Avraham Avinu did piri'ah, like the pasuk the rabbis doresh, "Hetalech lefanai v'heye tamim," so they say, "Hetalech lefanai zumila v'heye tamim zu piri'ah." But the point is, he wasn't commanded. He did the piri'ah as a eno mitzuveh ve'oseh. When did the mitzvah of piri'ah come? Much later, not until the times of Yeshua. How do we know? Shne'emar. Ba'etai, the time that Yeshua ben Nun entered Eretz Israel, Amar Hashem Yeshua, Ase lecha harbot surim. Which is God told Yeshua, go make for yourself sharp rocks. And the end of the pasuk says, Veshuv molet Israel shenit. He told them, go circumcise the Jewish people. So the Gemara is assuming over here, what do you mean, go circumcise the Jewish people? Must be the Jewish people that if they're saying they had a circumcision already, you're saying they had those that had a circumcision already, those that were circumcised already. What do you mean, Shuvmo? What is he doing to them? So must be he gave them a Piri'ah. So therefore you see that Piri'ah didn't start until the time of Yeshua. Because no, maybe the ones that weren't circumcised, God was telling Yeshua, go circumcise all those ones that weren't circumcised. Dichtiv kimulim ayu kol ha'am yotzim v'chol ha'am yiludim. Which means, we know the people that came out of Mitzrayim, they were circumcised, but their children were not. So who told you he was doing piri'ah? Maybe he was just doing a milah on the uncircumcised people. Gemara says, imken ma'yishuv. The pasuk says, God tells Yeshua, shuv mol et Yisrael. Go again and circumcise. Smashma, they were circumcised already. Ela what? They didn't have a piri'ah. So therefore says, Ela lav lepri'ah. Must be he was telling them, the ones that were circumcised already, go and give them a piri'ah. The ones that were uncircumcised, so you have to give them the whole thing. Look at Rashi. Imken maishuv demashma zimna ahariti. Ela lav shma mina lepri'ah. The Gemara says one more point. Umay shenit. It says, Shuv molit Yisrael shenit. That's already extra. Shuv, do it again a second time. What's the shenit? Already you said, Shuv. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Umay shenit. Hashta de darash shuv. Now that you already explained shuv means the second time and do the piri'ah, might shenit might tedrosh be. So the Gemara says, La kushe sof mila. The tchilat milah. So, okay, but I want to say that there's a connection between the end of a milah to the beginning of a milah. What does that mean? Ma tchilat milah me'akev. Just like the actual cutting of the foreskin, that's called tchilat milah me'akev. You have to cut the foreskin. Af sof milah me'akvin. So too, after the milah is done, it can also be me'akev. What is considered sof milah? Detnan eluin tzitzina me'akevim etam milah. There's certain little skin that remains after the cut, that skin is called tzitzin. Tzitzin, little pieces of flesh that could be ma'akev the milah. So even though you cut the orla, but if there's little skin remaining, the milah is not good. So what are these tzitzin? Basar hafe et rov ha'atara. That's little skin that's covering the majority of the atara. Which means, what does it mean majority of the circumference of the atara? So let's say there's little skin that's covering the majority of the atara, that's called sisina ma'akimin tamila. You have to cut them. It's not considered to the extent. Ve'en ochel betruma. He cannot even eat truma. It's considered arel. Amar Ravina ve'timar Rav Yirmiya barabba marab basara hofe etrov govaha shel atara. He says, doesn't have to cover the circumference of the whole atara. Even if it's covering the majority of the height of part of the atara, which means a little gova of the atara has this skin, already is considered aril. So the pasuk shenit is coming to say that even though they were circumcised already, shenit, which is if there's some tzitzin that are remaining on the atara, you got to go back again and do it. So the shuv was coming to tell us the din of piri'ah. Whoever was circumcised already, they didn't have a piri'ah. Piri'ah was given in the time of Yeshua. You have to say that it was mean from Matan Torah already. It wasn't a new halakha, but it didn't kick in until they got into Eretz Yisrael. But the point is, that was shuv is for piri'ah, and shenit is coming to tell you that you have to do the milah over again for those people that had the tzitzin that were me'akev. What is tzitzin me'akev? Either the circumference of the atara, it's covering the majority of it, or rov gova of part of the atara itself. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, amen v'amen.